This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good Friday to you. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Adrian Wojnarowski has an interesting column today at ESPN talking about behind the scenes of the playoffs and the restarts, what Adam Silver is dealing with when it comes to the NBA. This morning we've been talking about two possibilities for the NBA returning. Las Vegas is an idea because of the hotels and the ability to quarantine. Also on the table is Disney World in Orlando. Also have facilities there to play basketball as well as hotels, and you are in more isolation. But one of the interesting aspects of this behind the scenes is the headaches that Adam Silver is dealing with. About 15,000 tests are going to be needed if you want to quarantine NBA players and some personnel to keep, to get the games going and whatnot. But they don't want to take it away from the public. The public needs tests. Other areas of the country needs tests. So to get 15,000 of them just to finish up a season or to play out a tournament or something like that, that is something that the NBA is wrestling with. These are more and more ideas and more problems. I think the Disney World idea makes a lot of sense because of the way the resort is sort of really isolated from the city of Orlando. I think Vegas is a little bit more problematic, but because the casinos are closed, I mean, it's not like fans are walking in and walking through casinos. They're shut down. You can absolutely quarantine the players in those hotels, in those facilities, and get the games going. Either one would work. But the test issue is interesting because, again, if you're Adam Silver, you don't want to, the optics have to still look decent, right? And you know that the critics are going to come with swords ablazing if you take 15,000 tests just to conclude an NBA playoff. Right. But you have to make sure that this is all good. Every one of these commissioners is dealing with the optics of what they're doing. Right. How are we putting more people at risk? Are we doing this in a way that doesn't the risk that we're taking? Does it transcend into the cities that we're in? Does it go into the cities that we're in? All of them are very cautious about all this. But the testing issue, this isn't just Adam Silver's issue. Rob Manfred's going to be talking about this. Gary Bettman's going to be talking about this in any sort of return to sport. How are they going to get tests? How many tests are they going to need? And how much of the tests that they get, even if it's through a private entity, how much of it is more needed into the public at large?
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Yo, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Tony D, Ron Colbert. You want to hit us up on Twitter? You can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Colbert, Ron with two N's. Closing out the week. Brian Truitt is going to join us, USA Today. More entertainment options for you this weekend. Plus, an interesting story about how there's a movie war now, as Regal and AMC Theaters don't want to have anything to do with Universal movies, because Universal is like, we just stream these movies, and we did pretty well with them.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's real. That is one of the, that's before, even before COVID, that was, I always heard that was a possibility down the line.
Yeah, I think they were just looking for an excuse.
Yeah, when I heard it, it was a couple of years and years ago when they talked about, hey, listen, a movie comes out to the theater, but you'll be able to stream it. But that it was always going to be very expensive. It was going to be like $50 because, you could bring four or five people into your house and watch it. So they were going to try to make up for the lost ticket sales, because nobody really goes to the movies by yourself unless you're me, and nobody in your family wants to go see a movie that you like. But most people go as a family of four. So you pay $50, you have four or five people in your house, you're watching the movie. But now these movies were $20, and apparently, like, Trolls World Tour did extremely well financially.
It was on in our household.
Yeah, on this thing. So, yeah, so now these theaters are saying, well, listen, if that's your new business model, then we're not going to participate in this.
I know. But can the movie theaters be that selective? Are they just going to show Disney films and...
Yeah.
From here on out?
If you want to stay
Marvel
in business, you've got to
Star Wars, that's it?
Yeah, you've got to have the flicks that draw people. You know, listen, I don't know how many people, I'm sure there are still plenty of people who go, look, I don't care what I see. I just want to be in a theater. I want to have some popcorn, big room,
yeah,
big screen. Okay. And listen, if that's what you do, that's what you do. Me, I have seen trailers for movies where I've said, I can't wait for that to come out. I am going to run to the theater to see that. Then it comes out in the theater, and it still takes me a week, 2 weeks to a month to go to the theater to see it.
Well, and I'm choosy with the movies I go to a theater for.
Right.
Because
me too.
So expensive.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
For me, it's like, no. It needs to be some sort of action movie. Always has to be an action movie that has amazing special effects that you really get immersed into. Because then I'll sit there and I'll watch like some kid movie, like a Disney movie, you know, like Frozen or Moana or something like that,
right,
with my kids. And I'm like, man, I wish I saw this in a theater. The music would have been awesome.
No kidding. No kidding. So,
but yeah, there are some movies I have no interest in seeing in theater. I will just wait. And I think movie theaters need to recognize that we're going to be selective now.
He's also got an article that talks about the best franchises to watch, which is, I just love to explore these. So you're quarantined, right? And you're like, okay, I can watch this movie, that movie. But what movie group, what franchise of films should you say, you know what, I'll invest my time in? You know, maybe revisit them or watch them for the first time. You know, like Star Wars is pretty much on top of the list.
Yeah.
But Alien is on the list. Back to the Future. What other ones did he have on there? The Dark Knight.
Yeah, the only one, when I was going through this list, the only one I have not seen any movie of is The Conjuring.
I saw the first Conjuring, and then I did not watch any more movies after that one.
Yeah, I figured that was probably why I have not jumped into it yet.
And so then there's they got Die Hard, which I think I've seen all the Die Hards, but I don't know if I saw the last one.
I know I've seen all of them once.
Yeah.
And obviously I've seen two of them a whole bunch of times.
Now, one that's really interesting is The Godfather. Now, many of us have seen The Godfather 1 and 2, but I remember my son, I wanted to see The Godfather, and he couldn't make it through the first 45 minutes of it. He says, this is so drawn out, I can't do it. And he goes, I'll watch it another time. He didn't have the patience for it. And I told him, you should at some point sit down and watch. It's a classic movie. But it just wasn't, I don't know if it's a generational thing where they just need constant pull of entertainment. Because Godfather does draw itself out. It does take a while to really sense what's going on here and pull it through.
It's one of those movies where you feel like you're reading a book.
Yeah, right.
And so there's no big payoff. You have a few highlighted scenes. But yeah, for the whole gist in the movie, it's the payoff is at the very end.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So I told him, I said, yeah, you probably should, though. Now, Goodfellas, he loved. Like, Goodfellas,
well,
I think, drew him in and kept him.
Yeah, but because there's a lot of action throughout.
Right, almost immediately.
There's not, I mean, Godfather, it's all storytelling.
Yeah. I mean, Little Henry is burning taxi cabs down, right? Because the cab stand didn't pay up. So he's like, Little Henry's like putting in, you know, setting him on fire right away before he's off doing his thing. But Godfather plays out, you know, nice and slow.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But I like what he said. I mean, you know, the third one, out of the three, the third one is the worst movie.
No, it is the worst movie. It could have been better. The story isn't that bad. The story is actually based on a belief, a conspiracy belief of the Pope and the embezzlement of money, which led to the assassination of a Pope through poisoning. There's a conspiracy theory about that. It lended itself to an interesting story. It wasn't well done. It didn't really translate very well onto the screen. And I just thought, you know, Al Pacino played a weaker Michael Corleone in the third one, which it just didn't. I don't think it did very well. I don't know. It's forgettable.
It is.
Like, I don't want to watch it.
Because weren't they also, they escaped to Sicily for a little bit?
Yeah, they go to Sicily. They go back to Sicily. And Andy Garcia's character is rising up through the ranks. He's kind of a punk gangster. But
yeah.
He's got blood. He's got the Corleone blood. And he rises up. There's that scene where they break into his apartment. Right, you remember that where he's got Bridget Fonda there, and he's got two.
Remember.
So he's got one of the gangsters. He's got one of the crim the was it, burglars, if you will. They're coming to kill him. So he's got one of them, and he's got a gun pointed to him, and he tells the guy, calm down, everything, you know, calm down. And then he says, watch, watch. He blows the guy's head off in front of everybody. And then the guy is supposed to leave as scared to say that, you know, he's whatever. I don't know. But I remember just that one pretty awful, gross scene. And that was the only thing I really remember from the movie. That's really it. Other than a couple of lines, you know, they pull me back in, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But it's a forgettable film.
It is.
The first two are amazing. I mean, the first two are cinematic classics.
Well, and that's why, you know, they're Oscars. They're right. Oscar winners. I mean, you know, not only for the cast, but the films itself. And
now, Rise of Skywalker is coming on Disney Plus if you get Disney Plus on May the 4th.
Yep.
Well done there. So now you have access, if you could find online access to all of the Star Wars movies.
Well, you have that,
including the prequels.
If you have Disney Plus, you can have all nine of them.
You can have all of them, yeah.
My cousin the other day asked, because her kids had never really seen, had watched Star Wars. She's like, is there a particular order that we should watch them in?
Oh, what did you tell her? Did you give her advice, or did you just
What I told her was, I said, hey, listen, I'm going to assume that they've kind of seen it, right? And I said, you know what? Do it in a fun way. Maybe go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've never done that. Primarily because you know, one is forgettable, and yeah, I'm almost like, you know, skip to three. But then
two is an unwatchable movie.
Two is a video game.
Two is, you watch it once, and then you never watch it again.
Yeah, two. The only redeeming thing about two is that it's the first time we ever got to see Yoda fight.
That's right,
and yeah. That's literally about it. So, spoiler alert: Yoda fights.
Well, you know what, though? Prequels, one of the things that attract people to prequels is because, one, it is an explanation of how things were, things got the way they were, right? I'll give you an example. Breaking Bad was a great television hit. There's a new hit on AMC called Better Call Saul, which is the backstory of one of the characters on Breaking Bad. What makes that show really awesome is, one, the acting's good and the stories are good, but you have context with the characters. You know at some point he's going to turn into this type of character. How does he get there? Does Star Wars work like that? Because again, I'm from the 80s, so I knew all about 4, 5, and 6 before I got to the prequels. And then watching the prequels, I went, okay, I'm trying to get an idea of how we got Star Wars Empire and Return of the Jedi.
I don't know. I'm going to nerd out real quick because my son has been watching Clone Wars, right? And the cartoon Clone Wars, they're pretty good.
It is pretty good, yeah.
But he turned to me the other day, and he's 12, and he knows everything's going. He goes, Dad, it's like, what happened to all the clone troopers?
Oh, yeah,
And I just told him, I said, well, they all became stormtroopers.
That's right, they became stormtroopers.
And it's like, literally, all they did was just change their helmets. That's it. He's been watching. He's seen all the movies as well. He didn't make that correlation.
Oh, okay.
So I think that to your point, like, did they do a good enough job explaining where all the stormtroopers came from? I don't know. I don't think so.
All right.
So, I mean, if he didn't figure it out.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting article because, again, you got all these, like, Harry Potter. I mean, there's like, what, 8 movies in Harry Potter. And I'll tell you right now, if you knew nothing about Harry Potter, didn't read the books, didn't know it, like, 8 movies is a lot if the first two don't catch your interest. Even if somebody could tell you, no, they get better, they get darker, they get more serious, they get more intelligent. Like, the first couple are like kind of kids movies, but then they get a lot better. But you can't, like, it's too much time to invest in something that doesn't really make you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now, it's a lot of movies to dive through.
One of the ones I have been talking to my wife about is, like, I would love to get my kids to watch Lord of the Rings because I think they would really dig it.
They're at that age right now. Absolutely.
But the only problem is that it's about 9 hours of film.
It really is.
And it's, you know, we have nice weather. And I'm like, we got to wait for a cloudy day. I'm not going to waste clear blue skies and no humidity right now for us to be sitting inside for 9 hours to watch some movies.
Yeah, and it's pretty deep. I mean, it's good stuff. I mean, it's got a good, really good story. You got to kind of pay attention.
And he did put up the Rocky franchise as well, which I appreciated.
When does the Rocky franchise, though, fall apart?
Five.
Five? Because that was with Tommy Morrison, right?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, get him fighting Drago in Russia. Then after that, I got nothing. Yeah, and even Rocky Balboa wasn't all that awesome.
But the Creed movies are pretty good.
Yeah, the Creed movies are good. So
yeah, that's good. I kind of like him, assuming the role of Mick, basically. Yeah.
Dark Knight trilogy, good Batman series.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, kind of broke the mold on that one. Now anyone that comes through again is just going to be compared to that. Every time they want to bring back Batman, which they constantly
or the Joker.
Do. Or the Joker, it's hard to do.
I mean, even like Joaquin Phoenix did a great job as the Joker.
Yeah.
And people are still saying, like, yeah, but not as good as Heath Ledger.
Yeah, not as good as Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger was better.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. So, Brian Truitt's going to join us, USA Today. We'll talk to him about that and all the other entertainment news. Because you're quarantined and you still want to watch some stuff and you still want to get, you know, occupy your time. It's a little good entertainment feature on a Friday. As we continue along, it's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Booger McFarland said something so stupid the other day. I can't take it anymore. Booger McFarland should know better. And he's an LSU guy, so I preface this next statement with the fact that he went to LSU, so he's an LSU person. And maybe he was saying something tongue-in-cheek, but he said it in a way that was so casual and off the cuff as if to state a fact without any sarcasm blended into the statement that made me go, he doesn't really believe this, does he? And he said that he was talking about Joe Burrow taking over the Bengals. You know, he's like, all right, and how tough it's going to be. He's a rookie. He's going to be taking it, you know. And he said, well, you know, he goes, and Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati, he played with better talent at LSU. I was like, oh, no, he knows better than this. Stop with the argument that college teams are better than the worst NFL team. Stop it. You know it's not true. I don't care who you are. You know that's not the case. It drives me nuts. And again, I know he's an LSU guy, so don't tweet me, oh, he went to LSU, so he's just making a comment.
He's a homer.
I get it. I understand. And even if he was making a joke, he didn't even pause for the effect of like giggling or laughing or something at his silliness. Oh, he just said it as it was a matter of fact. Like his LSU team is more talented, has more talented players on that team than the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, it drives me nuts. We all know this is the wrong. This is a fallacy. It's incorrect. An NFL team has the best talent on the planet, no matter how bad you are. And there are guys on that LSU team that played with Joe Burrow who are going to go nowhere near the NFL.
You know, we have said this over and over again that, you know, one of these Alabama teams can beat the worst team in the NFL, Tony.
Never said such thing.
Everyone needs to listen to this, okay? The NFL is 32 all-star teams.
Exactly.
You take the best from everywhere. Sometimes you miss. You know, we're not going to lie. I mean, you know, the fact that Luke Falk?
Luke Falk. No question.
You know, some of those guys, they kind of slip through the cracks and make it onto a team. But you're taking the best players imaginable. And not only from D1, you're going D2, D3, or FBS, FCS, whatever they're all called. You're taking them from all over the place. All these small schools, these mid-major schools that you've never even heard of. You'll grab a player. You'll grab the best player from there because he was the best player in that conference. Put him on an NFL team that he's gotten better, like a Jerry Rice. And, you know, you can't, I'm hoping that he was saying that because it was LSU homerism for him.
I just think it's probably LSU homerism because he wouldn't say that enough.
He wouldn't say that about AJ McCarron, right?
No, he's smart enough to know better than that. I mean, he covered Monday Night Football, man. You know, he knows this league. He knows that while LSU was a juggernaut team, played good competition, that they're not loaded with all stars. They were loaded with the right skill position players. But even then, look, we don't know how those skill position players that Burrow played with at LSU will go, how they'll look in the pros.
No.
We have ideas, but we don't know if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to burn out after two seasons.
Right.
Now, no
we
idea.
We could say this, though, that Joe Burrow may have had better coaching at LSU.
Maybe. That's a good point. That might be true. Ed Orgeron against Zach Taylor. I think I would take Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
I think I'd go with Orgeron.
What was the Brady?
Oh, Joe Brady. Joe Brady. Fantastic. That's right.
Might want to go with him I don't know who Cincinnati Bengals quarterback coach is.
Yep, exactly. I think it was Chris Mortensen on the day of the draft, or maybe Mel Kiper. I can't believe I would get get those two guys confused.
Well, yeah, they look similar.
One of those guys mentioned, look, Cincinnati, you know, everyone's like, oh, Cincinnati. But Cincinnati is an organization, and we talked about this with Andy Dalton. They haven't always stunk. They haven't had this long history of being terrible. You know, Dalton played 9 seasons there, went to the postseason 5 times. That's over 50% of his years in Cincinnati. They just haven't been good over the last couple of years. Burrow is going to an organization that now, because Dalton has left and they got rid of four other players, they saved them. They've got $41 million in cap space that can help Burrow either this year, next year, however they want to build the team around him. But do not think that Burrow is going to this bottom feeder scrub football team that has no talent around him. If he has AJ Green back, he's going to be fine, right? He's going to be okay. Joe Mixon can run the football, right? They've got some players on their team that can play.
I'll guarantee right now, AJ Green will be the best wide receiver he's ever thrown to.
Absolutely.
He played with better talent at LSU over the Bengals right now. Because if AJ Green back, and he's only a tenth of what he used to be, still the best wide receiver Joe Burrow's ever played with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mixon is a 1,000-yard rusher. I mean, they got, you know, they, again, age, I mean, their best receiver last year was Tyler Boyd, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, AJ Green being off the roster really did lead to help. You know, look, they weren't going to win 10 games. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, 2-14. But yeah, when Dalton doesn't have a receiver like AJ Green, that offense ain't going anywhere. And it's just bad.
So assuming everything's back to normal, do Bengals go back to Dayton to practice, or
yeah, right?
Are you going to skip it this year?
Unbelievable! What a story that was. Remember that they go to this one of the original fields, and they lose AJ Green for the entire season,
which just kind of derails their offense.
And if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me, wasn't it one of those injuries that was like, it was not bad in the beginning,
no,
and they thought he'd come back, and then
4 weeks.
Right. It was like, oh, no, he'll be back. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. And yeah, a couple of weeks became like half a year, and then it became a whole year.
Yeah, it was he'll miss preseason, but then he'll be back, and he might miss like the first 2 weeks of the NFL season because
right.
He's getting in shape,
right,
in game shape during that time. And then he'll be back by week 3, week 4. And,
that was
then it became, he'll probably be back by week 6, so maybe week 10. You know what? He's just going to sit out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, he was done. He's like, he probably even said, I ain't coming back to this disaster.
Yeah.
I'm finished. And they probably said, yeah, we actually can get a Joe Burrow out of this deal. It looks like he's playing pretty good down at LSU.
Yep.
Stay where you are.
Hey, local boy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Bengals were terrible. I mean,
they were a bad team.
They averaged like 15 points a game. They were atrocious.
And we could put it into one of these scenarios where it's like if they were to play, say, LSU 9 times out of 10, I bet LSU might squeeze one out.
Maybe.
You know, just because it's the law of averages. Right.
At
some point, LSU's got to, you know, make it a close game, and they're able to make a stop on the, a final play of the game.
One of the reasons that I go, it's not the skill positions, it's the trenches.
Right.
That's where you're going to lose the game. Look, is Burrow going to throw? Can he throw with, head to head? Can he throw better than Andy Dalton in that game? Probably.
Well, not this year.
Because
if you're taking a college quarterback going up against an NFL quarterback, college quarterback can't handle.
Well, no, I'm taking LSU, his LSU team against Dalton's Cincinnati Bengals team.
Right.
Will Burrow complete some passes? Maybe. Right. Will Dalton complete? Yes. What if you take an 18-year-old kid and he's an offensive guard, he has no chance against a 26-year-old NFL
grown
defensive
man.
Tackle, defensive end, or whatever it is. He has no chance. That's where it's troubling. The trenches are going to be won by the NFL team in such an exponential factor, it makes moving the ball for that college team nearly impossible.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, I love talking to Brian True at USA Today because, you know, we're all looking for entertainment options in an entertainment sports where sports is starved out. And there's still plenty out there. Our Progressive guest line, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good. Let's before we get to the fun stuff that people can peruse this weekend, you had a really good article about this a situation that is brewing a theater and studio war that is coming to Hollywood as Regal and AMC are refusing Universal films. Give us the background on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes down to, I think about a month ago, you know, when kind of a lot of all this started and, you know, all the movies kind of got delayed and got pulled off the schedule or got moved to next year. Universal decided to, you know, they wanted to put something out there for families. So they, Trolls World Tour, which was supposed to come out, you know, in the theaters in April, it came out instead on you know, streaming. They went straight to streaming. And the first one made quite a bit of money. So it was kind of a bigger deal. And it's made a lot of money. And, you know, it's made $100 million digitally, which, you know, now that they don't have to put it in theaters, they don't have to give them that profit to theaters. So Universal itself has made a lot of money off of this movie. So I think the theater owners are scared. I think, you know, they're not in business right now. They don't have much leverage either, but they're worried that, you know, if studios put all their stuff on digital, then people won't go to the theaters anymore. And, you know, it's already a business that's not out there right now. They don't know when they're going to open up. So I think everybody's a little bit scared. I think, you know, owners are scared for their employees.
So I think you and I talked about this before, is that, you know what, there is still an aspect of going to the theater that I don't think will ever be lost. Once we're able to go back, just the atmosphere of it, going, the social aspect of it, the room, the mood, the light, you know, the theater, you know, just in and of itself. But this idea has been brewing for so long, and it took a quarantine to really put it into effect. Is the genie out of the bottle, or do you still think that once theaters can open up, the public will say, you know what, I don't want to pay $20 for a movie at home. I might as well just pay $20 to go to a theater.
Well, the genie is definitely out of the bottle. You know, we've crossed the Rubicon, all that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, we were always headed in this direction. We just got here probably, like, you know, for some, it took a long time. For some, you know, it was probably, you know, a little quick. But, you know, there's so much stuff out there in terms of digital content and in terms of just, like, movies that hit theaters. And, your Avengers movies, your Fast and Furious movies, they're going to make a lot of money. Your Oscar bait movies, you know, the foreign films and stuff, they're not going to make a lot of money in theaters. So I think from now on, you're going to have studios figuring out, you know, which movies should play in the theater and which movies should play maybe, you know, day and date in terms of streaming, or have a smaller theatrical window where maybe a week after it hit a theater, it's in everybody's homes. Or, you know, maybe like some foreign film that was only supposed to play, like, you know, like for an Oscar run, you know, it played in New York and L.A. for a week, and then, you know, maybe a month down the line, it would have came out, like, nationwide. Maybe instead of going nationwide, maybe go streaming at that point.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we're going to go into a place where it's going to be both. I mean, you know, there's too much content online, and I think there's going to be more because studios know people are at home on their Netflix and on their Hulu and everything, and if they can watch a new movie there too instead of going out and spending, like, you know, $40 on, like, concessions for the family, that's, you know, they can just do their own popcorn at home and, you know, and pay, you know, $20 for a rental.
Yeah, it's, you know, it reminds me of, it's sort of that Listen, my kids were young enough when they were young, going to a Blockbuster or Hollywood Video was a big deal. They'd run, they'd find a movie, we'd find a movie, we'd go up to the counter, we'd check out. But as streaming went on, you just knew inevitably that that tradition was going to stop, that we were just going to advance. And I'm worried about that with theaters, where the romanticism of going to a theater, the whole idea of gathering the family and sitting and having popcorn and candy, all of that just ends up going away just because it's inevitable. It's just the technological advance of the time.
I think as long as there are people like, you know, people like us who've, you know, who know that romanticism, who know, you know, how special it is to that, you know, of a movie theater and, you know, and sharing experience with other people in terms of like a Marvel movie or, you know, some big action movie or something. I think, you know, as long as they're, you know, we're around, I think that's fine. [S2] Yeah. [S1] Because we're going to teach our kids that, oh, you know, I went to go see kid, you know, movies as a kid. You know, isn't it cool? You know, they're going to pass it on and everything else. But we now have a time where, you know, for the longest time, straight to DVD was like, you know, those movies were automatically considered inferior. No, you right. know, it was just like, you know, Lion King 2.5 or something. You know, it would be straight to DVD, and we're like, or straight to VHS, and we're like, oh, that's not good. You know, we'll put that on the, you know, if we really needed something for the kids, we'll put it on. But now you have a lot of because of Netflix and HBO and things like that, you have quality content that's going to digital. So people know that, you know, that's not exactly inferior automatically anymore. So I think we're going to have a future where, you know, there's theatrical releases and streaming releases, and they're going to have to get to love each other.
All right, so another article that you wrote was talking about some of the great movie franchises that, for those who haven't ever dove into them and had always wanted to, now would be kind of a good time to, you know, to eat up some movies. You start with Star Wars, obviously. And by the way, do you have a particular order you would watch Star Wars in if somebody said, hey, I've never even seen any of these movies? They would be rare to find that person, but if somebody did, do you have a particular order you'd watch those in?
Yeah, I do. It's weird because I think you go like 4 or 5. You start with a New Hope. 4 or 5, then you go back. You could probably skip Phantom Menace. I don't. You know, you don't miss anything if you miss that.
Right.
So then you go like 2, 3 to, you know, to get caught up on Darth Vader, and then you go back to like Return of the Jedi 6, and then you like finish it out, and maybe you put like Rogue One right before, you know, the first, The New Hope. And it's just like, I think, you know, overall, I think if you skip Phantom Menace, you're fine. But I think, you know, I always think people should go in the order that they came out in the theater, because I think there's something special about, you know, George Lucas putting us right in the middle of, like, the story in the first Star Wars. And I know some friends who like start with episode, you know, they start with Phantom Menace and they want to go out in order. I'm like, oh, don't do that. You know, because I think there is something kind of special to the mindset of like being thrown into a story just like the old serials, like George Lucas had intended, and then kind of coming back around and understanding everything by watching it, you know, in trilogy order.
Yeah, I wonder about Phantom Menace, because I think you're right. I think if you honestly found that individual that had never watched 1 second, maybe knows a little of the characters but doesn't know anything about it, and then you showed him Phantom Menace and you said, oh, and then after this there's 8 more movies, they probably go, I don't think I need to live in this world of deserts and mystical magic, and I think I'm good with this. I think I'm okay. But you're right. After Star Wars, especially after Empire, you saw Empire as a kid, you would run to the theater in 3 years to see Return of the Jedi. That was you couldn't stop thinking about how this story was going to play out.
Well, for sure, and I think that's the kind of cool thing. You know, once Empire Strikes Back ends, then you're like, oh my gosh, Darth Vader's the, you know, Darth Vader and Luke, you know, Luke Skywalker. Oh my gosh! And then you go back, and again, you skip one because you don't need to know about trade routes and all that kind of stuff. But then you go 2, 3, and you're like, oh, well, where did this Anakin Skywalker come from? What was his fall? So it's almost like a palate cleanser between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and then you come back to Return of the Jedi to see how it all ends.
Great point. Brian Truitt again joining us, USA Today. From a standpoint of franchises, what is, you know, again, box office numbers or just masterpieces on film or great stories is, and obviously there's no consensus, but what are some that are considered the best franchises of all time based on any of those criterias?
I think Godfather, just because of the quality of the films, I think that's up there. Back to the Future is a favorite of a lot of people. More recently, you know, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Not so much The Hobbit, but definitely Lord of the Rings. I think, you know, in many ways, you know, I think Star Wars will always be like the franchise of franchises, but Marvel, you know, with what they've done with, you know, in terms of a 23 movie saga in a matter of like, you know, 12 years. And the fact that, like, you know, there's not many stinkers in that bunch, which is a pretty good batting average. I think what they've done is phenomenal in terms of changing storytelling and influencing, you know, the fact of, like, having a shared universe and having, you know, characters who know each other but then can have their own origin stories and have their own solo adventures and everything. I think there's something really special. And I think kids do like Star Wars now. I think there's more parents probably like it than kids. But, you know, you can't tell me, like, that Marvel doesn't have, like, every audience member just kind of hooked. So I think there's something definitely special about that.
Brian, really great talking to you. Always good catching up. Hope to have you on again soon, because as long as we're looking for entertainment, you provide some good advice.
All right, thank you, sir.
You got it. Brian Truitt again, USA Today on a Progressive line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. I kind of dig talking to guys like that in the entertainment field. I don't get to do it very often. Seems like a good time with the quarantine. You know, going back to the movie theater aspect and trying to relating it back to sports, think about this for a second. Everyone is now building out themselves really great, you know, setups in their rooms for television, right? They're putting sound systems in, little mini movie rooms, big screen TVs, high definition sets. But I think if you are living in a city where the local NFL team or the local baseball team is doing really well, or the NBA team is doing really well, and you gave that person a ticket to an important game, they'd still go. Right? They would still go. They wouldn't say, no, it's much better in my home. I don't want to be at the Toyota Center to watch Game 5 of the Rockets,
right,
Lakers. I can watch. All I need from that game, I get at my home, an even better experience. There's something about being in an arena or a stadium that just trumps being in your home theater system.
Yeah, but here's food for thought. Moving forward, do we feel that way?
That's the elephant in the room, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, would you do it today?
If your team is hot and someone gives you a ticket to say, hey, here you go, go sit in a crowded stadium with 30,000 of your other feverish fans.
Right.
Is that still appetizing?
Exactly. So you could see the movie industry just sitting on this technology, knowing one day that the delivery system of their product is probably, you know, a lot cheaper doing it this way, even with servers and everything that you got to do to make it online, than making film, delivering the film, you know, all that other, however they were delivering it in the past. And then needing a moment like this, where you've got a public that is a little apprehensive about going out to a place like that, is got better systems in their house. You couldn't do this 25 years ago. 25 years ago, this doesn't make sense, right? Because one, of the internet. But let's say you even had that. People had big TVs with, no high definition, you know, no audio sound. Only the rich of the rich had some sort of home theater, big speaker systems. But at the same time, now it's a lot cheaper, and a lot of people are doing it. And yet there is still a feeling of going to the movies that I like. But I agree with you. Today, it's a whole other conversation. It's a whole other conversation in sports, in music, in film, about whether or not you would go. I like listening to music. I like going to concerts. I don't know if I'd go to a concert for a while. I don't know if I would sit with 35,000 other people at a ball game.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's where we're at now.
That's where we're at right now. And a movie theater can get, even with a little spacing, it can get I can see it being dicey for people, then they'll pay the money to have it streamed into their home.
Yeah.
All right. It is Wake Up Call. It is SB Nation Radio. Again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. We'll get to your tweets coming up. Also, check us out on Facebook as well. Got a new page up, Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Like that page. Let us know that you're out there. We'd love to hear from you. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. This is Rolfa's. I've had to deal with a similar issue. Start with The Force Awakens. It's easier to relate to for people that haven't seen Star Wars. Approach it from Rey's perspective, the girl that was left behind in the desert who embarks on a journey of self-discovery. Ooh, I've never heard of The Force Awakens being the starting point for the Star Wars saga.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting.
You know what? How old are you, Rolfus?
That's what I want to know. That's a good point.
Might have an issue there.
Michael's wife's never seen Star Wars, been trying to get her to watch because I have had the box set, but she won't.
Well, divorce time.
All right, Michael, you got a choice to make.
Yep.
You got decisions to make on that.
Yeah.
You know what?
I know she takes you to Brazil.
That's right, she does.
But
that's a tough trade-off.
You got to go Brazil, Star Wars. It's a tough.
You know what's interesting? When my wife and I first got married, these prequels were coming out, and she went to every prequel first two that came out. And then I didn't find out till like 5 or 6 years into our marriage, she hates Star Wars.
What?
And I was like, great, thank you for going to those movies and indulging in my nerddom.
Yes.
Thank you for that. But she's like, no, not anymore. I'm done with that. Did my duty.